Christ demands zeal.
Amen.
Venerable Bishop Fulton Sheen, my name is Jess Romero. I'm 10-8. I'm on duty. Terry, what about you?
I'm 10-8 too, Jess. I'm on duty. I'm so excited. You know why, Jesse? This is a great feast day of the Catholic Church. We call it Our Lady of the Rosary, but really the older title, Jess, is Our Lady of Victory, and we have to call on Our Lady today for a victory over sin and over our culture of secularism. So today we're going to be talking a lot about Our Lady and Our Lady of the Rosary and why it's so important and that big battle. Also, we're going to be talking about this is the cult of the coronavirus. It's become its own religion, and Tucker Carlson, man, he nailed it with his, we don't usually play a long clip, but this was so good.
Yeah, it's too good.
It really just made me realize the devotion that this world has for coronavirus. Wow. Also, we're going to talk about top health officials telling the Biden administration to back off the booster shots. Thanks be to God. And, you know, our good to know file, there's some things I'm going to tell you that you're going to be like, what? Come on. Are you serious? And we are serious. I'm going to say, come on, man. That's what I'm going to tell Mr. Biden, because these things that are going on in our culture are on his watch. But before we do any of that, Jess, let's get some soul food in us.
You got it. And by the way, the entire month is the month of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. So as Catholics, you're not on Team Jesus if you're not praying the Holy Rosary. We're not trying to be mean. We're just trying to get you all to heaven and get you active in the battle. Okay, today's gospel, and it just jumped right away from me. My page turned.
All right.
Yeah, Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, mm-hmm. verses 5-13. Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence.'" I'm going to get back to that word. "And I tell you, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked," ouch, mm-hmm. ouch. He just, that's a universal proclamation, Terry.
Yeah.
You then who are wicked, he says, if know how to give good gifts to your children,
yeah,
how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A lot here, Terry, especially on the theology of prayer. Okay.
Yep.
Notice what he said here, where he says he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence.
That's right.
If there's one thing about the Bible, it constantly tells us that we're supposed to persist in faith. A lot of people think it's like, you know, a bubble gum. You put in a quarter and you're going to get a bubble gum because you said one prayer and that's it.
No,
this is key here. Persistence in prayer, or perseverance in prayer. St. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Why? Because God wishes to unite himself to those who pray without ceasing. And again, St. Bernard of Clairvaux says, when we pray, the Lord will either give us the grace we ask for, or the one that is more useful to us. This is very key. And when you pray, we also have to pray with confidence, Terry. Pray with confidence, like the Bible says. St. Augustine says, God, by promising certain things, he has made himself a debtor. And so we're supposed to pray with confidence. Why? Because God is our Father. And Jesus says in John 16:23, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. So we should also approach prayer with confidence. And finally, we're supposed to approach prayer with humility.
Exactly.
With humility. That's Psalm 51. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Everything, the basis of all of prayer starts with humility. And then finally, Terry, Jesus says, ask and you'll receive, you know, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. St. Faustina once had a conversation with our Lord. It's in paragraph 921. Because we know that God knows everything. So we figured, well, why do you got to be specific with God? He knows everything. Well, look at this conversation. Today, the Lord said to me, Faustina, I am told that there's much simplicity in you. So why not tell me about everything that concerns you, even the smallest details? Tell me about everything and know that this will give me great joy. I, Faustina, answered, but you know about everything, Lord. And Jesus replied to me and said, yes, I do know. But you should not excuse yourself with the fact that I know, but with childlike simplicity, talk to me about everything, for my ears and heart are inclined towards you, and your words are dear to me. So don't just say, you know, I mean, it's good. You say, you know, I pray for the conversion of the whole world. Okay, yeah. How about specific? I pray for the conversion of Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, my mother-in-law, father, etc. In other words, Jesus told St. Faustina, she goes, Lord, why should I be specific with you? You know everything. He goes, duh, I know everything. I'm God. But I want to hear what's in your heart. Be specific with me. Give me the details.
Well said. Well said. Let's bring in the smartest guy into the room right now. Full sheen ahead. This is a topic that's very important on tolerance. So misunderstood today. Remember, Bishop Sheen wrote this 60 years ago, Jess, but sounds like it's going to be for today. He says, love of God and man as an ideal has lately been replaced by a new ideal of tolerance, which inspires no sacrifice. He says, why should any human being in the world be merely tolerated? What man has ever made a sacrifice in the name of tolerance? None. It leads men instead to express their own egotism in a book or a lecture that patronizes the downtrodden groups. This is the cash value right here. One of the cruelest things that can happen to a human being is to be tolerated. Never once did our Lord say, tolerate your enemies, but he did say, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Jesse, that reminds me of the same-sex attraction people that have homosexual tendencies. In the world today, even at the highest levels of the church, they're saying we need to tolerate them. We need to accompany them. Jesse, accompanying them doesn't mean compromise and saying continue to live in mortal sin objectively. Accompanying them means to tell them the truth in charity. So this idea of tolerance has become so tolerating that we tolerate mortal sin and call it, oh, we're going to just accompany them. So if you're the president of the United States and you decide that you're going to use all your powers to kill unborn babies, you know what? We're going to tolerate that and we're going to accompany you when we give you Holy Communion. Wrong. And Joe, Jesse, I'm just Joe Sixpack and I can see that. Ask a second grader. They can tell you they shouldn't be receiving Holy Communion when they're killing innocent life. All right, I got off a little bit on that, but I mean, Jess, it upsets me that we tolerate sin.
Yeah. Terry, you know, one of the things also, this feast day today, it was initially called by Pope St. Pius V,
oh, yeah,
Our Lady of Victory.
Why?
Because we're going to get to the
first. I thing. Love it. I can't wait.
We defeated the Muslims in a great Turkish sea battle.
Big time.
But about 100 years after that,
yeah,
they changed it to Our Lady of the Rosary. Now, I don't have a problem with either title.
Yeah.
But it was Pope Gregory the 13th that changed it in 1573 to the feast of from Our Lady of Victory,
yeah,
to Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. I don't know why it was changed.
I don't either.
I kind of like the old name, Our Lady of Victory.
Yep.
But I'm guessing it's because we were still in the midst of being attacked by Islam. they were still a force to be reckoned with. Yeah. And I think it probably, I don't know, maybe the Pope's and the church says, you know what, this is just triggering Muslims by calling this day Our Lady of Victory, the victory over Islam.
Yeah.
And so let's just kind of tone it down and call it the Feast of the Holy Rosary.
Yeah,
I think
it's triumphalism. You know, no, we can't do that. We have to say it's the Rosary. I agree. Hey, Jesse, just a good-to-know file before we break for the Air Force officers and federal agents are suing the Biden administration under unlawful COVID vaccination mandates. More of this is happening. I just want to put that in your good news, your good-to-know file. Also, Jess, we all have heard about it. Federal judge blocking pro-life Texas heartbeat. Folks, we talk about a battle, Our Lady of Victory. That's what I say. The Rosary is our key right now.
Yes.
And changing the culture. But when we come back, Jesse.
Yeah, we're gonna hear the best segment by Tucker Carlson about this whole thing, about this whole COVID religious cult. In 9 minutes, he gives the best explanation and description of this religious cult that we're worshiping in America, and Pope Dr. Fauci and Joe Biden are the acolytes.
Well, Fed, we're listening to the Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Can you tell we're too blessed to be stressed? Yeah. We're too anointed to be disappointed? Yeah. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. Come on, family. We'll be right back. You're going to be blown away by this clip we're going to play. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back, the Terry and Jesse Show. We want you to listen to Tucker Carlson as he talks about the cult of coronavirus has become its own religion, and American leaders have become obsessed with worshiping fake Catholic Dr. Fauci. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
God dead? That's the question that Time Magazine famously asked way back in 1966 when Time Magazine mattered. The answer then and now is no, God is not dead. But a lot of the people who believed in him are dead, turns out. Not so long ago, this was an enthusiastically Christian country. As recently as 2009, 77% of Americans told pollsters they consider themselves to be believing Christians. Then in just 10 years over the course of the Obama administration, that number dropped by 12 points. Over the same period, the number of atheists and self-identified non-religious people in America jumped dramatically. And that was before COVID. Politicians used the pandemic across the country to close thousands of churches and throw Christians in prison for practicing their faith. Here was the scene, for example, last fall in Idaho, police arresting a congregation for singing hymns outdoors.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Trust in chariots and others trust in horses, but we recall the Lord our God strong down.
Socially distanced hymn singing outside. So what exactly was these people's crimes? That tape will be studied by future generations of historians to try and figure out what was going on. What did these people do wrong? Well, they publicly affirmed their belief in a power higher than government. Not allowed. Fewer and fewer Americans do that or even think to. But that does not mean, and this is the critical point, that does not mean this has become a secular country. There are no secular countries, just as there are no secular people. Everybody believes in something. All of us are born with the need to worship. The question is what? So no, America's not lost its religion, it's just replaced its religion. What's dying is the faith that created Western civilization, Christianity. In its place is a new creed. And like all religions, it has its own sacraments, its own sacred texts. It's the cult of coronavirus. Kathy Hochul is one of the high priestesses of this new faith. She's the governor of New York. Now, no one voted for her as governor, and that seems odd for a politician. But it's typical for a faith leader. No one voted for Jim Jones either. Yesterday, Kathy Hochul held her first service as the leader of the New York Diocese of the Corona Cult. Around her neck, she wore not a cross, that's yesterday's symbol, but instead a vaccination necklace. That necklace signified to the faithful gathered that Hochul has ascended to the select priesthood of those who have taken full intravenous communion. Listen to Bishop Hochul preach.
And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated, all of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love? But to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live.
How do you show your love to one another? The old way was to visit people, say, in the hospital as they died. That's no longer allowed. The new way to show your love is to get the vax. God himself wants you to take the vaccine. I need you to be my apostles, Hochul thundered. No one comes to the Father except through the shot. Sinners in the hands of an angry healthcare worker. At the pulpit, Kathy Hochul, not super bright as you may have noticed, seemed suddenly transformed, a transfiguration, if you will. Standing there, she wasn't merely a mediocre, unelected governor of a dying state with bad weather. No. Hochul was the vaccine messiah, preaching the undying word of St. Anthony Fauci. Can I get an amen, ladies and gentlemen? Now, it may sound unlikely to those of you used to the older faiths, but many are joining this new church. And for $39 right now on Amazon, you too can buy a sterling silver necklace that declares that you have been vaccinated. Literally declares it. Just spells it out in cursive. Vaccinated. There's no mistaking what an incredibly good person you are. Everyone will see it. You can also buy vaccination bracelets and vaccination pins and vaccination earrings, vaccination shirts, vaccination socks. It's all at Kathy Hochul's church gift shop. Go there today. And while you're shopping, be certain to pick up a Tony Fauci prayer candle. In fact, get two. All good, decent people have more than one. For just $15 on Etsy, you can buy a patron saint of staying home prayer candle. That's a real thing. We read the reviews today. Here's one of them. Love it! Exclamation point. I think I may have to set up a little altar to place it on. Another exclamation point. There's a new convert. Here's another review from a woman called Kelly Hannon. Quote, I put this in my office. I work in public health, and this makes me smile every time I look at it. Of course it makes you smile, Kathy Hannon. Virtue is its own reward. Now, for those still making the tough transition from a traditional Western religion, a religion about God, to this new religion, which is not about God, it's really about you, and only you, and more of you, and you, you can pick up this masked nativity scene online. It looks conventional, but look closely. It features Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus all with their faces covered, as they should be even in a manger. They're masked, just like you are. In this religion of narcissism, the holiest figures look exactly like you do. That's the point. We'll reach back 2,000 years and change the appearance of historical figures to look exactly like the people in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. That's what this religion's about. And speaking of babies, you want to celebrate your children's baptism by vax by purchasing a sacred text to memorialize this moment. We recommend this age-appropriate Tony Fauci coloring book. This book promises, quote, hand-illustrated coloring pages starring your quarantine dreamboat. Not surprisingly, the reviews online are glowing. Everyone loves it, with one exception. Of course, there's always an apostate, the kind of person burning stakes were created for. Here's what that nasty non-believer said in the snarkiest possible way. Quote, there's a section at the back of the book where kids color numerous pages solid black to help Dr. Fauci cover up his involvement in the pandemic. Yeah. Guess we know who to report to the religious police. For the rest of us, though, there are Tony Fauci pins, Tony Fauci mugs, Tony Fauci Christmas ornaments. There's a cornucopia of Fauciana. It's all part of the practice of this young but growing faith. Soon, the especially devout will set out on pilgrimages to Wuhan, China, where the very first miracle of pangolin-to-human transmission occurred. Some believe a visit to the wet market will heal them. And who are we to say that it won't? You're not going to hear Joe Biden doubting this new religion. Joe Biden is its chief apostle. He knows that the kingdom of Corona can exist right here on earth and that it will endure forever. But first, everyone must convert. Every last person. This is an evangelical faith. It will be spread by the sword if necessary. Here was Joe Biden today.
How many Americans need to be vaccinated for us to go back to normal? Like, what is the percentage of total vaccinations that have to be deployed?
Well, I think, look, I think we get the vast majority, like it's going on in some industries and some schools, 97, 98%. I think we're getting awful close. But I'm not the scientist. I think, but one thing for sure, a quarter of the country can't go unvaccinated, and that's not continuing to have a problem.
There he is, getting another shot, another. Why not? It's not just once a year. No, not for the devout. Some people take communion every day. Joe Biden would like to see everybody on board with this program. Everyone believing wholeheartedly in this new faith. He has called for 98% of the United States of America to convert, to get those shots. One, two, three, maybe every Sunday. That's a lot. That's a big percentage of people. For context, according to the CDC, and we looked it up today, just 92% of American two-year-olds are vaccinated against polio. And some say polio is almost as bad as corona. But here's the difference. Fighting polio was never a religion. It was just science. The whole project was overseen by a logical little man called Jonas Salk. Jonas Salk did not wear a vaccine necklace. He created the vaccine, but it never occurred to him to make jewelry out of the cause. No one lit candles in Jonas Salk's name. Jonas Salk's job was to stamp out a disease. And he did that. It never occurred to him to start a cult.
Terry, this is cult mind control, what we're seeing right now. And one thing you'll see about cults is they have a great devotion to a person or a thing. Right. In this instance, their great devotion is to Fauci. He's the be-all and the end-all. And the vaccination, the mRNA injection, that's the thing that they have this great devotion to. Also, you have two types of cults. You have religious cults and intellectual cults. This is an intellectual cult because it's based on fear. And it works, Terry. It's working for at least half of the country. Another thing we know about cults, and I've been studying this for years, this cult mind control, is that cults, the leader always has this cure for a disease. So all the devotees, they surround around the leader because he has a cure for diseases. And so this is what gives them his power. This is complete cult mind control. And what happens, because people believe that this leader has power, they have great devotion to him, and he has the cure for this disease, cults, what they'll do is they'll adjust their way of thinking. They'll adjust their beliefs to revolve around what the leader says. And these, the devotees, they'll have a hard time admitting error. And you'll see devotees, they're yes men. They're yes men to please the leaders. And we're seeing that, Terry, with about half of the country in America. And you'll see people that buy into this cult mind control. They don't question. They do not question the people at the top. They rationalize their behavior wearing two masks while they're in a car. Mm-hmm. And also, Terry, they'll use stereotypical arguments against people like you and me to try to dismiss our arguments. And also, another thing I know about cults is there's a real powerful conformity for them to pressure and to just, walk in lockstep with the rest of the people.
Jesse, when I watched that 9-minute clip the first time, I was like, are you kidding me? Are people that stupid? No, I really mean that. I mean, this false god of a vaccine, I mean, it really made me realize that the vacuum has been formed, and this is my take. Tell me if you think I'm onto something. As we stop preaching Christ and Him crucified,
amen,
people lost their faith and they'll fall for anything. That's my take, Jess. All right.
Bingo.
Yep, we'll
bingo.
Be back.
That's a Catholic word, by the way.
Yeah, bingo, Catholic word. Hey, hope you enjoyed that. And let's have a little fervor for our Catholic faith. And that's what we're here for. We're talking about Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of the Rosary. But we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the Biden administration. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Here's a bit of good news.
Yeah.
You have top health officials. These are people, that are doctors and scientists that are not connected to the government or government payroll.
Yeah.
They're calling up and they're advising unelected President Joe Biden to back off the booster shots. Unelected President Joe Biden in recent weeks has championed COVID-19 vaccine booster shots as a means of strengthening protection against the virus.
Right.
But now experts, again, who are not connected with government payroll.
Independently.
Yep. They are reportedly advising the president's administration to back off, arguing the science doesn't justify the widespread use of the third shot.
Let me repeat that. The science doesn't justify the widespread use of the third shot. Give me a break, Jesse. Go ahead.
I mean,
that says it all.
According to Politico, several prominent doctors and scientists outside of the administration held a call with federal officials last week advising them against promoting the COVID-19 booster shots. These experts said that current data on vaccine performance doesn't support using booster shots widely to reduce the risk of a breakthrough COVID-19 infection. This call took place 27th of September, the same day Biden made a big deal out of receiving his booster shot. It was that fake prop that we saw on YouTube. That was staged. That included White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci, the cult leader and policy advisor Cameron Webb, as well as the FDA and the CDC's, the heads of the FDA and CDC. So the outside experts are advising that these booster shots should only be given to people at risk of severe COVID-19 to reduce hospitalizations and deaths. But for weeks, the messaging from Biden's White House strongly supported securing booster shots for every vaccinated American, but the FDA and CDC have yet to authorize the COVID-19 booster shots.
Yeah.
A week before the call took place, the CDC's Independent Vaccine Advisory Committee recommended that the Pfizer BioNTech booster shot be reserved for high-risk groups like the elderly or the immunocompromised. Terry?
You know, Jesse, it just makes so much sense what's happening here, that we are just, you know, do we have our heads screwed on? I mean, this is like the experimental vaccine, so-called vaccine. We're going to be giving it to our kids here in all of California as an experiment. I mean, that's child abuse. All this whole thing is just, we're not using our head. But Jess, you being a policeman, don't you smell something when something like this happens? Like going, wait a minute, this isn't right. Like, I'll give you an example. This is the same culture we're living in right now. In Chicago, gang members released without charges after a deadly shootout, in part because they were mutual combats who were willingly fought each other on a regular basis. And so that should be the reason they should be back on the street so they can continue battle. What? Jesse, is this microphone on? You're a policeman. What's that about?
It's politically incorrect to arrest blacks if you're a white officer. Okay? That's a fact. I'll say it again, in case you got wax in your ears.
Yeah.
It is politically incorrect to arrest a black thug if you're a white police officer, because you have white privilege and you're a racist. So, yeah, don't put your handcuffs on them. Let them do whatever they want. And again, you have all these George Soros funded district attorneys that have basically been planted around the country in some of the major cities. These guys are leftist progressives that hate cops. So police don't prosecute. They just write report and take you to jail.
Yeah.
The report's given to the district attorney, to the detective. The detective gives it to the district attorney. He looks at it and decides whether there is reasonable cause or probable cause to file charges. So it's not the cops just take the
doing his job.
Yeah. Take the people to jail. That's it. It's the district attorneys that have been planted by George Soros around the country that are dismissing charges because, again, they're all BLM lovers. They're all Antifa lovers. They're not going to prosecute people that have their same worldview and that have their same politics. Those are their people. And what I mean by that is they're political allies.
Yeah, I get it. I just wish Martin Luther King's comment, "Don't judge a man by the color of his skin, but by his character," would be implemented here.
Not as long as the Democrats are in power. Martin Luther has no voice.
Exactly. That's, hey, Jesse, wouldn't that demoralize the police force out on the beat that they would not just, why are we arresting them if they're
That's why they're quitting and retiring in record numbers. Record numbers. We've never seen this before in the history of the country. Yeah. I mean, thousands of officers retiring or just terminating employment around the country. And so if you thought that your neighborhood, you had a long response time before you made a call for service, rest assured that if you make a call for service, you'll probably be getting a patrol officer 24 hours later. Thanks to the Democrat Party. Thanks to the district attorneys that have been put there by George Soros, and thanks to BLM and Antifa, funded by George Soros, who have vilified and demonized the police department.
And just to support what you're saying, Jesse, violent crime has gone up 33% here in California, and I know it's gone up all over the country. It just makes sense. If your cops are going to look the other way because they're doing, you know, their job, and they go, "What if we arrest them, you know, nothing's going to happen to them," then those thugs are going to have more freedom to do more bad things. That's just common sense.
Yeah. Also, what's happening in the country just at a large scale.
Yeah.
And these liberals know this because they look at all these tests and they know that most people, they will shut down their moral conscience if somebody in authority tells you to do something, even if it's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a study. It was a famous study. It's called the Dr. Stanley Milgram Experiment. When you go to college and you take Sociology 101, this is the first thing they show you, that the human conscience will shut down when somebody in authority tells you something. And they've proved it.
Yeah.
They've proved this. In this experiment, you can watch it on YouTube. They get about, several men, 20 to 50 years old, diverse levels of education, diverse occupations. So you have an authority figure and they're all standing in a line, and there's a person in another room that's like an electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, "Go into that room." They go one at a time. They go into that room and they go, "Press that button." They go, "Why?" "Just press the button." They press it. And the person in the electric chair starts faking it like he's being electrocuted. But it's a fake test.
Yeah.
And he screams and he cries and, "No, I'm dying. I'm dying." So they tell the guy to leave the room. They bring in the next guy. Well, people are hearing this. They're saying, "Wait a minute, they're torturing somebody in the room." So the next guy goes in, a person in authority, a doctor, says, "Here, press that button." "Well, no, I heard him screaming. That chair is torturing him. I can't press the button." "Press the button." "Okay, doctor." And they press the button. They did this test and everybody, even some of them were crying and some of them were saying, but he's going to die. He's going to die. "Press the button, I told you." And they did it. That's called the Milgram experiment. That's human behavior.
Yeah.
And the Democrats know this. They know that all they have to say, "I'm the president. I'm a PhD, Dr. Fauci, advised the last five presidents. You're supposed to wear a mask and social distance and take the jab." Most people are going to press the button and say, "Yes, sir." Because again, there's a quasi cultic mentality that Terry, that and all this is diabolical. This is ultimately
the
fingerprints of Satan behind it, because Satan operates in deception, Revelation chapter 12, and in lies, John chapter 8. And this whole cult of this coronavirus, Terry, I'm not talking about the actual virus itself. I've got it. It's real. This Chinese did a good job of knocking you on your butt for a few days. I'm talking about everything around it, the way they've handled it, because several countries like Norway and others have said, "This is just like a flu." Well, I'll tell you what happens when you have a flu. You stay home.
Exactly.
You call in sick and you stay home and, you know, drink hot tea and take a nap until it's over.
Right.
This is, but what they're doing, they're acting like this is the bubonic plague or something.
Exactly.
And this way, they're able to control the people using the Milgram experiment.
And not only that, Jesse, this just came out. A whistleblower for Pfizer leaks emails where it shows that we want to avoid having information on the fetal cells out there. It's all on YouTube. At least it's on YouTube for now. And basically, these emails are showing, again, that they're hiding stuff from us. Why? Because this is they don't want the truth to come out. And again, what did you say about lies? Where does that come from? The devil. Yeah. And so what we need to be doing right now is pushing back, like the police have done, or the Air Force suing the administration, trying to stop them from forcing vaccinations on us. Where have we ever had this happen in our entire 250-year history of America where we had forced vaccinations or forced things to do like this without having freedom of conscience? And this is what we have to do right now, folks. We got to fight back. And I'll tell you who's the best fighter for us right now is Our Lady. Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of the Rosary.
Which we'll be talking about next.
Exactly. And I want to also remind you that you can support our show by going to CatholicRC.org. Get lots of downloads. Don't forget, we still have a YouTube channel on Full Sheen Ahead. Please like that because we want to get any of Bishop Sheen's statements out as far as possible. And also, I just want to remind you the conference that we did with Jesse back last week on the 29th of September. It will be coming available soon, the mass and the talk. I think it's 3 hours long, and we will have that on our website. If you do want to get a copy of it, you can always call 877-526-2151. Jess, why is Our Lady instrumental in victory for the cross of Jesus Christ? Tell us, just tease us what we're going to be hearing. Why is Our Lady so important?
The Blessed Virgin Mary, again, remember, just like she brought in Jesus Christ the first time, she's also going to usher in the second coming of Christ. And not only that, of all the saints in heaven, what's a saint, a person who lived on planet Earth that is now completely full of grace and sanctified in heaven? Mary is the chief and the queen of all saints. She's God's masterpiece. So of all the saints, she has a special relationship with God.
Amen.
Where God uses her in a very powerful way to perform miracles and drive demons away. We'll talk more about that.
You got it. We're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family. More to come to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Today, October 7, 1571, the Muslims had the most powerful naval fleet back in the Middle Ages. That's what they were known for. They were the first pirates, actually.
Yeah.
And so the Turks, they were the world power. They were called the Ottoman Empire. They figured that Christian Europe was pretty weak right now. So they set out about 100 ships to go attack Europe.
And Jesse, just to set the stage, they saw that we were weak because we were fighting among each other.
Just like right now.
Go ahead. You nailed it.
And so they send out ships filled with about 30,000 Muslim soldiers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Pope found out that we're about to be attacked, and he asked how many soldiers we had, volunteer soldiers. We had about 10,000. It was about 3-1 soldiers. Muslims outnumbered us, and 3-1 battleship as well. The Pope knew that things didn't look good for us. He called the Rosary Crusade. Mm. This Pope is a very famous Pope. He's called St. Pius V. In fact, he's the one that codified the Latin Mass, and he called it the Tridentine Mass.
Right.
The Mass from Pope Gregory the Great back in the 5th century, he actually gave it a name back in the 16th century, and he called it the Tridentine Mass.
Yep.
Pope St. Pius V, he called for a Rosary Crusade, asking all of Europe, basically, to start praying to Our Lady for her intercession so that she can spare us against this onslaught because we were just outnumbered. And we already know through history how vicious Islam is.
Yeah.
We've known that since it was started by Muhammad up to the very present moment. We know how vicious they are as a religious system when they follow the Quran, which tells them over 100 times to cut the heads off Christians and Jews. It's right in the Quran. So the Pope was taking care of some matters, but every day he was praying. And people around Europe were praying. He also told the soldiers on the ship they must be praying as well. Well, the long and the short of it, the day came when the ships met face to face. And the Muslims, they formed a crescent. Their ships formed a crescent, just like the symbol of the religion. They met in the battle. All of a sudden, there was this powerful wind. This came out of nowhere.
Right.
Powerful wind that capsized about a third of the Muslim battleships. The remaining Muslims, they saw the wind just turning their boats over. And the remaining Muslims, they said, well, this is an act of God. God has spoken whose side he's on. So they were struck with fear. They made an about face and they went back to Turkey, to the Ottoman Empire. And the Catholics basically won the battle because the Muslims put up the white flag. They went and told the Pope that the Muslims had retreated and several of their ships had just sunk by a very powerful wind. The Pope was praying the rosary. He started ringing the church bells, and he announced that it was Our Lady of Victory that spared us from the Muslim scourge. So it was called Our Lady of Victory by Pope St. Pius V. About 100 years later, it was changed to the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary. Both are simply titles of the same woman, the mother of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, Our Lady of Victory, pray for us.
And Jesse, over that time of history, like for example, in Brazil, 1964, the communists were getting ready to take over Brazil, and the church came out with a powerful rosary crusade when people came in and prayed the rosary, and for some unexplained reason, the communists took off. Or in Austria, 1955, the same thing happened there. This is why I would say that we can apply what took place in 1571 to 2021 right now. Get our rosaries out. I think a rosary, this is what my thought is, and I think others are saying the same thing. To fight off secular humanism, to fight off all the evils that we're dealing with today, we need a rosary crusade. We need every Catholic to step up, get their rosary out, pray it out on the streets, Jesse. That's what I think we need to be doing today. And we have trust that Our Lady will bring us to victory 2021, just like she did years ago and like she's always done. But we have to have faith to apply our faith with Our Lady's rosary. And that's pretty much what I think we should be doing to fight off our evils of the day.
I'll share a personal rosary story.
Yeah.
My mom and dad and the five Romero kids, we took a vacation to Mexico back in 1970. Mm-hmm. I was probably about 9 years old. Johnny was probably about five. My brother Javier was 10. Henry was 12. Yeah. My sister Josephine was 16. So we drove from San Fernando, California, to a city called Puruandiro in the state of Michoacan, Mexico, which is deep, deep Mexico. That's where my mom and dad were born and raised. It was probably about a three-day drive, 10 to 12 hours a day. My dad drove. We had a 1966 Chevrolet Impala. It was a road trip. We were all excited. The Impala was low, seven people in the car, all kinds of luggage. Yeah, the car was pretty low. So we're on day number three. Now, we're about 2 or 3 hours away from the city where my mom and dad were born and raised, Puruandiro, Michoacan. But my brother, who's a year and a half older than me, Javier was very sick from Montezuma's revenge. He had food poisoning. We just weren't used to the food in Mexico. And it was probably a combination of the food and water. It didn't sit well with him. So my brother's shivering in the back seat. He's vomiting. We got to pull over. He keeps vomiting. He's shaking like a leaf in the wind. My mom is pretty worried. She tells my dad, we got to get into the hospital right now. I looked at my brother. The guy looked like he was about to die. My dad said, I don't know exactly where we're at right now. He told my mom, he goes, but I know we're about 3 hours away from our hometown. He goes, we can make it in 3 hours. We'll get him to the local hospital because I'm very familiar with our hometown, but I don't know where we're at right now. It's kind of desolate. And so as we're driving late at night, it's probably about almost 12 midnight. Mm-hmm. I'm looking out the windows, Terry, and I can see these big dogs all around us. And my sister, she's 16. And we're talking in the back, said, wow, look at those big dogs. She goes, they're not dogs, they're wolves.
Oh, my gosh.
And so all of a sudden, our car gets stuck on these railroad tracks, completely stuck because our car was so low. Yeah. It's dark. It's 12 midnight. We're in the desert. And to make things worse, we saw the light of an oncoming train, and we heard the horn blowing. We could see the light. It's a few miles away. My dad jumped out of the car. He grabbed the flashlight.
Yep.
And he told my mom, get out of the car. Take the kids away. I'm going to stop the train. I'm saying, stop the train? What are you talking? Stop the train. I'm 9 years old. I know a man can't stop a train. My dad is running alongside the railroad tracks yelling in Spanish, stop, stop. My car's on the tracks. My car's on the tracks. Stop. Please stop the train. My family's there. My mom got us off the car. We followed her to about 100 feet away from the car. We were all scared. It was dark. Again, there's dozens of wolves all around, probably about 50 to 100 yards away from all of us.
Wow.
I'm looking at my dad running towards the train in an attempt to stop the train from broadsiding our car, which obviously it would have split the car in half and destroyed everything that we possess, even in our luggage. So I'm saying if that happens, we're going to be stranded in the desert, surrounded by wolves and criminals. And my brother Javier is already half dead right now. My mom took out her rosary. She always did every day. I always saw her praying every day, ironing and praying. And she said, let's pray in Spanish. Vamos orar. She started praying the rosary. All five of us were literally holding on to her dress as she led us in prayer. We're looking up at her. And she looked like a pillar of strength. She looked like a big mama bear, you know? Mm-hmm. Here you have six helpless people.
Awesome.
Storming heaven with prayer in the middle of a Mexican desert surrounded by the drug cartels and wolves. Very dangerous situation. As we see the train getting closer and closer, then the horns getting louder and louder, all of a sudden we see the train starts screeching, and we could see that the steel wheels from the train, you know, sparks are flying. They're shooting from the steel wheels. I'm saying, oh, they're putting the brakes on. They're putting the brakes on. We kept on praying. We kept on praying. My dad's running alongside the train. It's slowing down. And my dad's still saying in Spanish, stop this train, stop the train. The train stopped.
Wow.
The steel on steel wheels on the tracks. We could see sparks flying, Terry, for about 500 yards.
Incredible.
And we could see this clearly at night. It looked like fireworks coming out of the steel wheel.
Yeah.
As we're praying and praying, it came to a complete stop about 5 or 6 inches from my dad's car.
Unbelievable.
The train engineers, about six of them, jumped out of the car, and they said, are you crazy? We never stop the train for anybody. We just plow through these cars because there's a bunch of drug lords and criminals that try to stop the trains in order to rob us. But the main engineer says, I don't know what told me to stop the train. He goes, I've been doing this route for 20 years. I've never stopped the train. I've plowed through 100 cars and split them in half. Something told me to stop for you. Well, Terry, I know what it was who told him to stop for me. It was the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary that moved his heart and had this man that had never stopped the train before in 20 years stop the train from destroying my father's car, leaving us stranded in a desert in Mexico, surrounded by drug cartels and wolves at 12 midnight, where my mom and dad had no idea where we were at, no cell phones or anything. Thank you, Mother Mary.
Amen.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Jesse, I love that story. I never get tired of that story. It's in one of your books, correct, Jess?
Mama's Boy.
Mama's Boy. Get it? Go to jesseromero.com to pick up that book. That story, you want to share it to as many people as possible. Again, it just shows, again, the protection that Our Lady gives us. And again, what is her role? Like Jesse said earlier, what did she do 2,000 years ago? She was the vessel that brought forth Jesus Christ. She's still doing that. She's still, true devotion to Mary brings us to Jesus. Yeah. Remember that. Jesse.
Absolutely. St. Louis de Montfort says, if you want to understand Mary's role better than any other explanation, Jesus is the head of the body.
Right.
You, the baptized, we are the body of Christ.
Yep.
The Blessed Virgin Mary is the neck that connects the head to the body. So all our prayers from the body go through the neck, through Mary, even Protestant prayers, to Jesus, who is the head. And by the same token, the grace of God, which flows from Jesus, the head, goes through Mary, the neck, to the mystical body, which is us, the baptized.
Amen. That's a great explanation. You know, I want to just recommend true devotion to Mary and prepare yourself for consecration to her, or St. Maximilian Kolbe also, another one with the Knights of the Immaculata. This is the month to do it. October is dedicated to Our Lady. And Jess, that story always moves me, so thank you for doing that. Hey, I just want to remind everybody, Dr. Sandoval's up next. And man, has he got a great show. His show, Jesse, is getting better every week I listen to it.
Man, show rocks.
He is. So please stay tuned. If you can't get it on your AM station, go to our website, vmpr.org. Download the free app, and that way you can listen to all his shows. And matter of fact, all the other shows we have on vmpr.org. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. Remember the Crusaders' battle cry. Christ conquers, Christ reigns, Christ commands.
Wow.
Remember, let's pray America great again.
Thanks again for listening, and thanks for supporting us here. We have one role: to get you to heaven. Through what? Through Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. May God bless you, and thanks again for joining us. Remember, tonight we're going to be praying for priests at our chapel from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. for the Holy Father, the bishops, everyone. Join us. God loves you.